In his new book, The Most Expensive Game in Town, subtitled The Rising Cost of Youth Sports and the Toll on Today's Families, Mark Hyman demonstrates that the youth sports economy is expanding rapidly with no sign of stopping. He joins me from WYPR in Baltimore to make a case that this is not a good thing. Mark, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
What constitutes what you call the youth sports economy?
It's a very difficult question, and I don't think anybody really has a good handle on that. The figure that's commonly used to quantify the youth sports economy is $5 billion, but I think that's quite conservative. That's a figure that really encompasses, I think, the core elements, the equipment and the registration fees and the lessons and the summer camps, but it doesn't – well, let me give you an example of what it doesn't take into account. Many of us have kids who've played in travel tournaments, mm-hmm. and we've spent a lot of the summer traveling around. And that number doesn't really capture the gas and the dinners at the pizza restaurants and the motels and so forth. So I think the real number is quite a bit higher.
Is there one story that sticks out as particularly representative of this trend that you found?
Yes, there is. Let me tell you about a man that I met named Fran DeCary, and he goes by a pseudonym, Stats Dad. What I found so interesting about Fran is that on his website, he records every dime that he spends on his kids' sports experience. And you can follow along almost on a daily basis. And each year, it seems to me, it's over $10,000. His son plays on a highly competitive travel baseball team in Cincinnati called the Cincinnati Sticks. Their uniform consists of multiple shirts and pants and socks and hats and belts. And Fran, who knows a lot about statistics, obviously, toted up the number of combinations of uniforms that this team for like 11 and 12-year-olds can wear. They could play 75 games and never be dressed in the same uniform. I mean, that, I think, is probably the best anecdote in the book in terms of explaining where we are in terms of spending on our kids' sports lives.
You cite one team of 8-year-old girls playing a 70-game softball season. How much does a commitment like that cost?
You're referring to a weekend I spent in Round Rock, Texas, at this wonderful Disneyland-like youth sports baseball and softball complex. And the weekend I was there, one of the teams that I spent some time with was from Louisiana, and the girls were 7 and 8 years old, and they'd been on the road for numerous weeks that summer. Mm. And that weekend cost the families in the neighborhood of $1,000. So if you multiply that by the 7 or 8 weeks they were on the road, and we're talking about, you know, a commitment of $7,500 to $10,000 per summer.
I wonder how many 8-year-olds playing any sport in 70 games over the course of the summer are going to end up saying they're sick of it and quitting.
It's interesting because when you talk to the parents, typically they will tell you that they're simply responding to what the kids desperately want. And the people I talked to at Round Rock that weekend, I think, sincerely believe that. And they may be right in this instance, but I think it strains credulity a little bit to think that a 7 or 8-year-old kid even knows what they want. I mean, if a 7-year-old told you they wanted to eat licorice, you know, 700 days a year, I think you might
well, yeah.
you might exercise some restraint as a parent. And I'm not attempting to substitute my judgment for that of parents. That's a dangerous thing to do. But I do think that sometimes we're all vulnerable to mistaking what we want for our children in sports for what's really in their interest.
You found that lots of corporate-sponsored activities, whether they're called sports camps or showcases or combines, advertise that they will pay off in terms of athletic scholarships somewhere down the line. What percentage of children involved in this sort of activity gets recruited or otherwise benefits?
A very small percentage. 5% of high school varsity athletes go on to play in college even for one down or 1 minute or 1 inning. An even smaller percentage get any athletic scholarship aid, yet it seems that that dream really is propelling so much of what's happening in youth sports, both in terms of the commerce and our ambitions and dreams for our kids.
In the worst instances, entrepreneurs are taking advantage of parents' anxiety to commit, really to commit fraud. Explain to me how that can happen.
If your child is a high school athlete and aspires to play college sports, or you as the parent aspire for them to play in college, you can write a check and send your child to what amounts to an audition. And they show up at a field or, you know, a basketball court or whatever, and they essentially are auditioning in front of 30 or 40 college coaches. It seems like a good idea, except that the only criteria for participating in one of these is writing that check. Of the 500 kids who show up and pay the price of admission, there may be three or four who have any prospect of playing in college. And it's kind of sad. When my son was a high school baseball player, we attended a number of events like this, and it took me a long time to realize that there wasn't much going on here, that, you know, I was writing the check, but he really wasn't college baseball material, and this really wasn't a wise investment in time or money.
One of the college coaches with whom you spoke was Tara Vandeveer, the head coach of the very successful women's basketball team at Stanford, and she told you, quote, "If I had any advice for athletes about college recruiting, it would be to do the work yourselves." What makes that advice so difficult to follow?
It's not clear to parents exactly how to proceed. There's a lot of bad information out there about what the best course is. You know, I found that interview with Tara so interesting because it underscored for me how little we as parents really understand the college recruiting process and how vulnerable we are to being taken advantage of by people who are basically selling hope. They're not selling a product other than our hope that we can do something to get our kid in a college uniform.
Mark Hyman is the author of The Most Expensive Game in Town, The Rising Cost of Youth Sports, and The Toll on Today's Families. The book is published by Beacon Press, and the author joined me from WYPR in Baltimore. Mark, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. We had help this week from Tom Welch at WYPR in Baltimore. Our intern is Philip Kisubika. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view our photo galleries, please visit onlyagame.org, and you can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word this week comes from Mark Hyman.
You can spend foolishly even if your kids have absolutely no talent.
You know, I've heard him say that a few times now, and yet I still don't think it's too late for my 25-year-old daughter to get that athletic scholarship she so richly deserves in shot put or archery or fishing. I don't know, something. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from Valvoline, maker of next-gen motor oil, engine protection with oil made from 50% recycled stock. Learn more at Valvoline.com. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org. And the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration to address the world's pressing environmental problems. This is NPR.